Okay, so why do we worship? Do you guys know? Jesus is worthy. That's like the best answer. Nobody's going to beat that, okay? The reason why worship is because Jesus is worthy. And if you worship from that place, you know that Jesus is worthy. Like, you know that he conquered death for you. He took away your sins. He made you whole. He healed your broken heart. He delivered you from oppression. Then you start like, Jesus is so worthy. Sometimes we worship because it feels great and it's great music. And that's not a bad, you can start with that. But the ultimate goal of worship is just to worship him because he is worthy. So, I just sense that God is a big God. Jesus is a big Jesus. That's what I felt like in worship. Jesus is a big Jesus. He's not a little Jesus in a manger. He is a big Jesus. He's bigger than you think. He is better than you think. He is closer than you think. He is our champion. He destroys the devil. He destroys your issues. He has such skill. He destroys your issue without destroying you. That's amazing. He's like, Tinas, you have an issue, man. Bah! And he takes away the issue, but he doesn't destroy Tinas. We know Tinas is strong, so if I hit him, he won't get hurt. But if Jesus hits him and really goes for it, he will get hurt. But Jesus is he's a gentleman, but he is a destroyer of our issues. Let's just give it to him, huh? when I worked with students at Salmos, I thought, wow, man, students have lots of problems. And then you start working with all the people, and you're like, man, all the people have lots of problems. Not all of them. And you think, man, can we just give our issues to Jesus? Can we just follow him and be obedient and realize who he is and start worshiping him in everything we do? Because he's a big Jesus. We are small people, but he is a big Jesus. And because of him, we can actually also become big in him. We have authority in him. It's amazing. It's amazing. Lekker. Great. So Philip shared a great message last week. I wasn't here. I was at a Bill Johnson conference up in Johannesburg. Who of you know Bill Johnson? Okay, it was pretty cool. It was really awesome. The first night somebody jumped out of a wheelchair. But he could sort of stand apparently before the time. That's his testimony, but he couldn't walk. But he was just walking around. One of my friends, his dad, couldn't smell, so he got healed. He wanted to smell oranges and I don't know what else, human sweat. He just wanted to smell everything. After the service, it would just be literally in the presence of God, people will get healed. So next week, we're going to have a worship service. So it's basically going to be 80% worship, 20% kind of ministry message. So we're going to trust for that to happen. So bring your illness, bring your issue. We're going to destroy that during worship. But at the end of those meetings, he would go like, hey, how many of you got healed? And it would be 200 plus out of a crowd of 1,000 would just wave their hands, say they got healed from something. But that's just the presence of God. That's what God can do. He can take away everything. I'm going to tell you a crazy story. I was just thinking of it now, okay? Let me just tell the story. Okay. So we have a friend. Luke and I have a friend. He was diagnosed with cancer. Down there. You know what I mean? I'm just going to use it, okay? Down there. So they had to remove, we're all adults here, so they had to remove one of them. You understand what I mean? And to keep the balance, they had to put another one back, but a plastic one. So it's not like Luke deposited or gave him his. No, they had to give a plastic one. And then he was struggling. And then they prayed for him at church, and then he went back to the specialist, and then they found there were two, but both of them were flesh. And he has the proof of that. He shared it at a men's conference, so I'm allowed to share it, eh? Are we allowed to share it? Okay, but he will come and visit one day, and then I'll just go like, this is the guy. And all of you are like, I know you. Okay. But anyway, that's the kind of things that God can do. He is crazy above what we can think or ask. That's what the Bible says. If you can think big, he can think bigger. He can do bigger than you think. And one of the keys for that, to allow God to move in your life, is just to be obedient. To be obedient to God's word and be obedient to his voice. So we are doing this value thing. Philip preached the message and representing Jesus wherever we go. The first one was just prioritizing relationship with God. Because eventually we want to raise up 1,000 people that can walk into the schools, into businesses, into the municipality, onto the sports field, and they must change darkness to the power of God. That's the vision up there. You can go and read it after the service if you can't see, read it now. But anyway, so obedience is key when we want to allow God to move through us, when we allow God to be big in our lives. So let's read a scripture. Great to start. John 14. Get your Bibles out. We're going to go John 14 into John 15. Okay, so 14 verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. Sounds like your mom, eh? If you love me, you will take out the trash. If you love me, you will clean up the kitchen. If you love me, then you... Sounds like your mom, eh? So God says if we love him, if we want to have a relationship with him, we must keep his commandments. Ons moet sy opdragte. And then read on. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and you will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. And then again, verse 21, hear this. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. It's like, I like that. So some people in psychology, they would say this person is more task orientated and this person is more relationship orientated. Have you heard that? Some people, usually you see it when you're at a party or even at church. Some people just chill, hang out with the people, they would talk to people, they would love people, they're like, how are you? And other people will just serve. They will rather make coffee and clean. Da, da, da. That's like, they basically divide people into two different groups. Those who are task-orientated and those who are relationship-orientated. Who of you are relationship-orientated? Who of you are more task-orientated? Okay, it's like 50-50. Okay, you guys who are task-orientated, afterwards you're going to clean the service. The relationship-orientated, we're going to have a party in front. Okay. So Jesus actually combines that. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. What is the biggest commandment that God gives us? To love one another. To love one another. Keith, well done. To love. So it's interesting. So God says, you must be obedient to my commands. If you love me, you will be obedient to my commandments. And then his biggest commandment is to love. So basically he's saying, if you love me, you will love me and you love other people. If you put them together. So that's the biggest commandment, the biggest task that you have in this world is to love. That is the biggest task. So let's read John 15, 10 and 12. I'm reading from the NIV, and up there it's the ESV. So you have two different translations to choose from. 15 verse 10, 12, it says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." So it's love, command the whole time. And it says if we keep his commandments, then we will remain in his love. And if we love him, we will obey him. So one of the most amazing things that will happen when you start obeying God is that you will understand how much he loves you. If you do something and God has been telling you, you suddenly walk into his presence, because you know he's not only giving you the command, but he's also saying, I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to empower you to do this thing that I've commanded you to do. So the moment you walk with him, he comes alongside you and he does it with you, and he does it in relationship with you. And that's one of the most amazing things that I've experienced in my life. When I was in Stellenbosch, they saw I'm a leader, and they asked me to go and speak English in front of a crowd. I couldn't speak English at all when I arrived at Stellenbosch. So I'm like, man, I have to speak to them. And it was girls. I need to speak to girls. Don't understand them, and I'm going to speak English. So I remember telling God, okay, God, I'm just going to say yes, because I know that you want me to do this. And the moment you start to speak, the moment you do that, my English didn't supernaturally improve. I made so many grammar mistakes. It was just horrible. It was really not a good message at all. But I remember afterwards just experiencing God's love in so much intensity. Why? Because the moment we obey God, the moment we walk deeper into his love. If you obey me, you will remain in my love. That's what the Bible says. And let's go back to John 14, verse 12. So what is the context of this? John 14, verse 12. Whoever you can read that to me. Okay, so Jesus kicks off and he says, hey, if you believe in me, you'll do the things that I've done. And not only this, you will do greater things than I have done. So name a few things that Jesus did that was quite spectacular. He raised the dead. He healed people. J.H.'s favorite, he walked on water. What else? He caught it. He made food, multiplied food. Great. Okay, so Jesus is saying, so listen how big this is. Jesus is saying we will do greater things if we believe in him. And then afterwards it says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So Jesus is actually saying, hey, you will do greater things and you will obey my commands. My command is to do greater things, and if you love me, you will do these greater things. So I'm going to give you this assignment. It is impossible. You will do greater things than I have done. It is impossible. It is impossible. Why? Because he wants to do it through you. And the moment you allow yourself, you hear his voice, you're like, pray for that person who doesn't have a leg. Or, hey, go and forgive that person that you hate. Or, hey, go and tell your teacher the thing that she's struggling with at home. You'll go and pray with her about that thing. So you think it's impossible, but then the moment you act in faith, the moment you're obedient, God comes through with a miracle. I'm going to give you two examples. The first example is Moses. Who of you know the story of Moses? So Moses, they're in Egypt, and they're out of Egypt, and they're running away from the Egyptians, but the Egyptians come after them. So he ends up right in front of the Red Sea, the Roy Sea. What happens? There's a Red Sea in front of him, and there's Egyptians that want to kill them behind them. What does he do? Build a boat. No, he's not Noah. He didn't build a boat. What did he do? Yes. How did he do it? So Jesus, you're going to read it. Exodus 14. So what happens? So he's against the Red Sea, and it's impossible. Think impossible. And God says, all you do is just stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. And Moses is like, that is so stupid. I can't do that. Stretch out my hand. So Moses is obedient. He stretches out his hand. Keith, thanks for preaching this message for me, man. Great stuff. Okay, so he stretches out his hand, and what happens? The sea literally opens up before him. Did he open the sea? Did Moses open the sea? Did his act of obedience allow God to move through him to open the sea? Yes. So what is obedience? Obedience is that thing that you do because you've heard God's voice, because God has told you, and because of that act of obedience, God comes through in a miraculous way. The obedience allows for God to move miraculously through you. Sometimes a miracle is just a touch away. The other night we were praying with a couple of leaders and we were worshiping, and I just felt God saying, just go and lay hands on this person standing next to me. And I just laid my hands on him, didn't know what to pray, and was just rumbling something like, Jesus bless him or whatever. And then afterwards, he sent me a message. He said, Armo, the moment you touched my arm, it became warm, it became hot, and my shoulder got healed because I was really struggling with my shoulder. So the act of obedience, me just going, hey, resulted in God moving through me. I didn't heal him, but God healed him. So the moment you're obedient, you open the gates for the God of heaven to move through your life. So who of you want to be obedient? And it's, well, if you know the story of Abram. So God tells Abram, you're an amazing man. I'm going to make your family as big as as many as the sand on the sea. You're going to be massive, like massive. Hey, but you have one son. Go up onto the mountain and put him on the altar and sacrifice him. So Abram is just obedient. He walks up the mountain, puts his son, his only son, the son of the promise, on the altar. And what happens? God moves miraculously. He supplies a ram in the bushes and tells Abram, no, don't kill your son. It was a joke. No, he didn't say that. But that's what, if you read it, it's like that. It sounds like that. So then, what happens afterwards? Abram is called the man of faith because he was obedient. Some of you, three generations down the line, they're going to look at you, my great-grandfather, Ruach, man, he was so obedient. He just followed God, and because of that, the blessings on my life. I have many of those grandfathers. And that's amazing because of one act of obedience. So obedience allow God to do the miraculous through your life. Obedience empowers God to showcase His glory in and through you. Because one of the most important things for you to be obedient, an attitude that you need to have, is humility. Okay, you need to be humble. Because I think if Abram wasn't humble, he would have never done that. Abram would have been, no, I'm not going to listen to you. This is my son. I've struggled for 80 years to get this son, 90 years to get this son. I'm not going to, it's hard work. No. But if you're humble, then you're open to receive. It's like my little boy, Nicholas, when he doesn't want to do something, he doesn't want to do something. And he's very proud in his stance because he knows this is what he wants. So the other day, he took some, I can't remember what it was, coffee or tea, and he just spills it all over the floor. I'm like, you're going to pick that up? You will pick it up. He says, no. So I'm like, okay, how do you teach a child obedience or discipline you? What? So I smack him and like, hey, you're going to pick it up. He's like, no. He won't do it. Smack him another time. No, he won't do it. So now we need to find another way to get him to a place of humility, to submit under my leadership and actually do what I tell him to do. Who of you sitting here, your parents have said the following words, just listen to me. Wees net gehoorsaam aan dit wat ek sê. No of you. And what they were expecting for you is to be humble and to listen to them. And if we learn humility at home, it's easier to have humility with God. So now God speaks, and you're like, God, no, I can't speak to that person. I'm not, no, I'm going to do my, God says, no, be faithful at church. Or, hey, be faithful in sowing money to that person. Or, hey, be faithful in your studies. Or be faithful in that, no, I'm going to follow my own will. What it means that you are full of pride. You're unwilling to submit to God. So humility is key. So let's look at a couple of ways to how to be obedient to God's word. So God basically speaks in two ways. It's through his word, written word, and through his voice. So his voice can sometimes be a picture, it can sometimes be a feeling, it can sometimes be an expression, it can sometimes be through somebody else. But those are the two categories that God speaks through. So how do you learn obedience? How do you understand or grow in obedience? The first thing that you must do is you must quiet all the voices. Because you want to listen to one voice. You want to quiet all the voices. Okay, so turn to the person, make groups of three or four. And what are the voices? Discuss, what are the voices that's shouting the loudest at us, at this generation? Just discuss with the person next to you in groups of three. Amanda, wat julle gesê? Keier en menslike aanvaarding. Soos okay. You're afraid of what other people will think. Okay? Groepsdruk, peer pressure. Okay? Die maas skud hulle koppe. Wat het julle gesê? Uit die huis uit kry. Ek weet, okay, great. Connor, what did you say? Okay, it's a good voice. That's a good voice. Most of the time. Okay. Who else? They're the back. Yanni, what did you say? Social media. Okay, there's another one that's really big. Your boss. I'm big. Sort of. Bigger than you, dude. There's one that, okay, so who of you are earning a salary? Okay. Some of you would move from George to a place like Secunda because of what? Money. Okay, money is a Cape Town, Durban. Anything else? Roa Viscus. Yeah. Okay, so the first step to being obedient or to hear God's voice, the first step is to hear His voice. And the first step to hearing His voice is to quiet all the other voices. And some of you, you must go and practice this thing. So go into your room, lock the room, put in some worship music, and say, God, today I quiet all the voices. Some of you must start speaking to your own mind. Say, mind, be quiet in the name of Jesus. Soul, be quiet in the name of Jesus. Go and read the Psalms. That's what David did. He quieted his own soul. Some of you need to quiet all the pressure that you put on yourself. Like, I need to perform, I need to look better, I need to be thinner, skinnier, better looking, more makeup, You have to quiet all those voices, and you're like, God, the only voice that I need, put off your phone, big distraction, put off your phone, and say, I'm gonna hear you. And you sit on your bed, and I'm just giving you a basic example of what I do. I'm like, God, the kids are so loud. Everyone, just so loud. I have all this. This guy needs to get saved. That person needs to be followed up. Man, people have issued these things. I need to get to them. And then I sit on my bed. I put on some worship music. It's like, God, I just want to be with you. And then most of the time, I experience a physical presence of God in my room. Like, physically, I can feel it. I can sense it. I can sense the presence of God. If nothing happens, usually what I do, then I start thanking God. I'm like, God, I thank you for this. I thank you for the ministry that you have. I thank you for this person who got saved. I thank you for that healing that I saw. I thank you for my friends. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my kids who are screaming outside the door. thank God. And then God's, it's like God's presence comes. If that doesn't work, and you still, I didn't feel anything, and sometimes you don't feel anything, I go and read the Bible. I start with, if it's going through a difficult time, I would go and read Psalms, because it seems like the Psalms, they always went through difficult times. And if I really just want to hear Jesus' voice, I go and read, especially I like the book of John, I just read John, I'm like, Jesus, show me who you are, show me who you are, show me who you are, show me who you are. Because I know the moment I see Jesus and I compare that to my problem, it's just, there's nothing. So you must quiet all the voices, the voice of money, the voice of social media, the voice of peer pressure. Some of you are going to need to practice this over and over and over and over again. Some of you even need to quiet your mother's voice. And that is also because your parents are putting too much pressure on you. Okay, they're telling you must perform. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Or even your teachers. It's not a bad thing that they want the best for you because they probably know you the best. But some of you are like, okay, oh man, now that I see God, now that I can hear His voice, that's what my parents are doing. They're actually just trying to motivate me. So that's the first one. The second one is search for His voice in the Word. Take this Bible seriously. I was with a friend the other day, and we were counseling this guy, and he said, hey, I asked him, do you take the Bible seriously? He says, yes, I take the Bible seriously. So I asked him, so what do you think the Bible says about you having sex with many girlfriends? He said, no, I don't think the Bible is against that at all. The Bible is very much against that. So it's the humility thing again, but it's also know the Word. Know the Word. Come to Bible school. This week, Tuesday, come to Bible school. It's going to be a very interesting session. A guy coming from Cape Town to speak to us. So know the Word. Second one, search for His voice in the community of believers. Some of you have ungodly friends, and when you go to them and you tell them about the thing that you need to go that you're going through or the breakthrough you need, they're just going to laugh at you, eh? Whoever you've had that, okay? But if you have godly friends will be like, hey, let's pray. Let's pray. Or you go to your small group facilitator, or you go to a mentor, and hey, let's pray. I don't know. Or, hey, I've gone through this. I have many mentors in my life. One of them is sitting over there, Philip de Vries. So I'm like, hey, Philip, I don't know what to do with all these young people streaming into church. His usual answer was just like, just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. So you need people. You need people in your life that can be those sober voices. And if you don't have a mentor, don't wait for somebody to mentor you. You go to somebody. You're like, hey, Yuan, I love your hair. I love your shoes. Just mentor me in the finer arts of being a man. No, Yuan is actually a very wise man. Or even Luke. Luke, he's such. This guy, if you're struggling with relationships, this guy, he sorts out a relationship issue in 5 seconds. He's gonna write books on relationships still. Hey, Monica? Okay, Monica doesn't agree. Okay. Anyway, he can sort out other people's relationship issues, not his own. And then embrace prophetic words. Who of you know what a prophetic word is? Okay, it's basically, we would just refer to it as a word. So somebody prayed for you and like, hey man, I feel like God is calling you to be a leader. You've never thought of you in that way, or hey, you're going to have influence, especially amongst creative people. Who of you have had people speak those words over you? Like, take those words seriously. Go and write them down. And you go back to them and you're like, God, I still remember how you spoke this thing through somebody else. I want to stand firm on this word. Like one of the words, like last year, the year before last year, lots of people told me, Amo, you're going to move in healing. You're going to see people healed. And from that day, I've seen a lot of people getting healed. Not as often as I want people to get healed, but I've definitely seen more. Why? Because it's something that's been deposited into my heart by that word. And I'm standing on that word. Some of you need to take that seriously. So if you don't have a prophetic word, you must come forward after the service, and we're going to pray over you, and we're going to trust God for that word that carries you. I have a list. I have a note on my computer where I write down all my prophetic words so that I go and look at them and say, wow, man, this thing is already, oh, this happened, wow, amazing. And gives you that ability to discern God's voice. And then the last one is you need to act on this. You need to be obedient. We had this student at Stellenbosch. Somebody said to her, she didn't do sport at all. Somebody said to her, you're going to have South African colors in a specific sport. And you're going to go onto international competition, and you're going to come, I think, in the top 7, or I can't remember what the prophecy was. And she's like, I don't play sport. I don't play anything. And then she started pursuing this thing. She went for a jog, and somebody saw her jogging and said, hey, you have a brilliant style. Come and run with us. And then she started swimming, and then eventually she became a biathlete, and she came in the top 3 in South Africa. Top 3 in South Africa, and eventually and internationally top 10 or something like that. But she... I was just so encouraged by this girl's story. It's something so normal. Somebody gave her words like, man, this must be from God. I'm going to run with this. I'm going to swim with this. So you're never going to know if it's God's speaking to you if you don't act upon it. You're never going to know if God wants to walk through you in a miraculous way if you don't act upon it. Like, my dad gave me this word and said, I'm gonna build the house of God. In other words, I'm gonna build the church. I must build the church. That's the word that God gave me. And after that, I changed to theology. I started actually with engineering and changed to theology at Stellenbosch, and I started literally equipping myself to build the church. And eventually when I came to George, this is what I'm doing. I'm building this church. And you know, one of the words that are carrying me is that word that my dad gave me. I need to build this church. I need to build, and not the church with a small C, but the capital C, the church, the body of Christ. And some of you need those kind of words. Let's stand. I'm going to declare this after me. I'm the most obedient creature alive. Okay, you're not. The moms are looking. The dads are looking. Say it after me. I'm the most obedient creature alive. I listen to when my mom speaks. I even listen to my dog. No, I'm just joking. Obedience is fun, people. Obedience is fun. And you learn obedience through being obedient to humans. And then you also learn to be obedient to God. So some of you just need today repent of not being obedient to your parents or not being obedient to your boss. Luke. So, yeah, there we go. Okay. So obedience is in you, and obedience will open the door for God to come out through the gates and literally destroy and bring a miracle. Obedience is key. If we want to change this world, we need. South Africa needs change. Who of you know that? Who of you have seen the State of the Nation address? Who of you have seen that? Oh, it's chaos. We need obedient people that can stand there and say, this is not what Jesus wants. This is not what Jesus wants. We need obedient people. People that can stand up and say, I'm going to pray to this person even though he's an atheist. I'm going to stand up for my faith. I'm going to love this Satanist. I'm going to give him a hug. I'm going to give this person who's struggling with sexuality, I'm going to give him a hug and I'm going to love him. My wife has this homosexual friend and we love this guy. And I always end up sitting next to him at weddings. And one of the things that I love doing is just give him a hug because he doesn't have a good relationship with his dad. And I know that I represent a dad to him. So I just give him a hug and I love him. Because we love bomb people into the kingdom. Amen. Obedience is fun, but you listen. You need to listen to the voice of God. So close your eyes. If you're right here, if you're standing here tonight and you don't know Jesus, if you're just far away from Jesus, you don't know what this chair standing and this thing, worship thing is all about. You don't know God. You don't know Jesus, a big Jesus. You haven't heard his voice and you don't know his love. And you need to come to Jesus tonight. You need to ask him to forgive your sins and to be reconciled to a Father that loves you and that's going to call you to be obedient, to change this world. If that's you, you're just far from God, I want you to raise your hand very high. Raise your hand very high if you want to come to Jesus for the first time or for the second time or for the fifth time. You can always come to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm gonna be very bold. I want you to be very bold. Those of you who raise your hands to come right in front. Great. Dion. Okay, there's more of you. Okay, great. Amen. Dion Ball. Great. Awesome. Great. Awesome. Okay, we're going to pray with these people because what's happening now is God has called them. They've heard his voice. What you experience now, it was God speaking to you. That tug in your heart, it was God speaking to you. So we're going to pray this prayer with them. Okay, so if you can stretch out your hands, basically it means just we want to bless them. Just pray this prayer with. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you have died on the cross for my sins. Thank you that I'm now forgiven. Because you love me. Thank you that I'm now reconciled to my dad in heaven. Lord, I ask that you'll teach me to be obedient to your voice and to your word. I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. You keep me in a place of humility so that I can hear you and follow you. From today on, I'm going to walk blamelessly. I'm going to walk with you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Great. So, amen. Let's give it a hand. Okay, so these, the facilitators, Diepje, Zile Elkin, Dawson, you're going to take them out to the kids area and just pray with them. We want to bless you. We want to give you some information about what just happened. Thanks, guys, for responding. So, as you listen to the connect, okay, great. Okay, great. So, if there's the couple of people that I want to call forward, the first group of people, if God's been calling you for something and you've been just neglecting to act on that. You told God, God, I'm not good enough. God, I'm not big enough. God, I don't know how to do this. But God has been calling you to do a very specific thing, and you know that. Tonight, you just maybe to speak to people, maybe just to witness, tell your testimony. But there's something that you still need to do, and God has been speaking to you about that. I want you to come right in front because we want to pray for you. And we're going to trust that tonight that thing's going to break so that that shame over your life is going to break so that you can walk out and actually do that thing that you are called to do. Okay, so if that's you, come right in front. We want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. So if the facilitators like Izona and Andy and Greta and Yanni and Marilyn, if you can come forward, please. Okay, so we're going to just pray for you and we're going to trust God that the thing that you are worrying about that's keeping you from doing this thing, that that thing will break over your life. Amen. Okay, it's exciting, huh? Are you a little nervous? You a little nervous? Maybe a little, okay? Because God, He acts on obedience. He loves coming through for obedience. Okay, so we're going to pray for you. If there's any one of you that has a specific need, like you need a healing or you need a breakthrough, I also want you to come forward. And we're just gonna carry on worship. We're gonna minister to each other. If you haven't received prayer and you need prayer for anything, you can come forward. So let's take this time out just to make right with God. Say, God, I want to be obedient to whatever you told me, because I know I want to be like a Moses who opens the Red Sea, not only for myself, but also for so many other people behind me. Amen. Great, so let's worship. Why do we worship? Because God is worthy. Yaku, why do we worship? Jesus is worthy. Okay, so we're going to do it, and then we're going to end off with a happy song, a dance song, okay? So even if you're inside, you can come back, and we're going to dance a little. Are you guys keen for that? Amen. Amen.